And welcome to The Morning Magazine, your front range morning news program here on Community Radio, KGNU. It's Friday, January 10th. Thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Hannah Lee Myers. Coming up on today's Morning Magazine, we'll hear from a professor from the University of Denver who teaches Islamic studies on why we need to be questioning the current rhetoric coming from the White House towards Iran. She's participating in a conference on decolonization that's happening at CU Boulder this week. Then we'll speak with the Audubon Rockies Habitat Hero Manager in advance of their bird-friendly, climate-friendly conference happening tomorrow in Fort Collins that teaches participants about the connection between helping birds and helping combat climate change. Then we'll hear how music and poetry can cross cultural and political barriers and why we should be dropping poetry, not bombs. The Musical Ambassador of Peace will share their music ahead of a fundraiser they're holding in Broomfield on Saturday. At 8:30, we'll go to Connections. In his latest book, Revolutionary Love, A Political Manifesto to Heal and Transform the World, author and psychologist Rabbi Michael Lerner sees unmet needs for meaning and community as a key force driving many of those who support President Trump's assault on constitutional democracy. Lerner challenges us to build a movement of revolutionary love that will defeat this racist authoritarianism and create a caring society. You can tune in and call in this morning at 8:30 to join that conversation. But first, at 5 minutes past 8 o'clock, it's time for your local headlines. Here's Steve Miller.
Colorado Governor Jared Polis delivered his second State of the State address Thursday. There were five takeaways in his speech. Number one, the public option health care proposal. With the creation of a state-administered public option for health insurance, which builds on the legislation enacted in the previous session. Key accomplishments include a state reinsurance program to lower private insurance rates, hospital price transparency, and consumer protections against surprise out-of-network medical bills. Two, paid family leave. Polis said that work on paid family leave broke down in the last session. The governor asked the chamber to lead by example this year and give state employees the benefit of paid family leave this year. Number three, the tax reform. Although this was left undone from Polis' first year in office, Colorado's flat income tax rate fell this year thanks to the Tabor refund. A goal he is enthusiastic about is eliminating tax breaks for special. In order to pursue this goal, Polis announced the creation of a bipartisan study group to look at the tax code. And number four, protection public lands. The governor wants lawmakers to invest in the state park system. He feels that the outdoor recreation and tourism are dependent on the state's natural beauty. Number five, putting extra money in reserve in case of future spending unknowns. Polis asked for $180 million for the reserve fund in the last budget, but only got $40 million. This time around, the governor wants $118 million. To provide future legislators and governors tools to rebuild. The governor, before giving his state of address at the Capitol yesterday, before he even got started, climate activists made their voices heard.
The protesters unfurled a large banner inside the chamber and shouted out demands for a new climate policy, including a ban on fracking.
And a good morning to everyone.
The Denver Post reports that multiple protesters could be seen being physically dragged out of the gallery, some in handcuffs. The Denver Police Department later said that 38 protesters were taken into custody on charges including trespassing, disrupting a lawful assembly, and obstruction of a peace officer. During his speech, Governor Polis referred to climate change, saying, quote, "It is causing more frequent, more devastating and more expensive natural disasters. 13 of the largest fires in Colorado's recorded history have occurred since 2010, end quote. Governor Polis also recognized the Colorado firefighters who are heading to Australia to help contain one of the worst wildfires in the history of civilization. For KGNU, I'm Maeve Conran.
Also at the state legislature on Thursday, two bills were introduced that are being criticized by local LGBTQ advocacy groups. The bill called the Live and Let Live Act, which is being introduced for the third year, would create government protections for sincerely held religious beliefs or moral convictions for people, religious organizations, and private associations, allowing public and private businesses to legally refuse service to LGBTQ people based on the owner's religious belief. Colorado One, the state's leading advocacy organization for LGBTQ Coloradans and their families, is saying that there is a license to discriminate. While the bill called the Fundamental Family Rights Bill could lead to mental health issues, adding that with suicide being the leading cause of death in Colorado youth aged 10 years through 24, all children should have support for all their needs. And in today's weather, there's a slight chance of snow before 8 o'clock. I guess that's a little bit beyond that. But it's mostly sunny today with highs in the mid-30s. Tonight, mostly clear, low in the mid-teens. Saturday and Sunday. Saturday, mostly sunny and breezy, high in the upper 40s. And then Sunday, partly sunny and highs in the mid-40s. I'm Steve Miller for KGNU.
And the time is 8:10. You're listening to your independent community radio station, KGNU. Andrea Stanton, Associate Professor of Islamic Studies and Chair of the Department of Religious Studies at the University of Denver, teaches a course on Islam and in the United States and is one of the speakers at a conference that's happening at CU Boulder all this week on decolonization. She spoke to KGNU's Rosanna Longo on that idea of decolonization in the context of what's happening right now with the U.S. and Iran.
One of the things that I think that many Americans actually don't remember, or maybe don't know, is that if we look across all of the countries today that are Muslim majority or Muslim plurality, all of them except the heart of the old Ottoman Empire, all of them except for the heart of the old Ottoman Empire and Iran were directly colonized by European powers. And even the ones that weren't, so the Ottoman Empire and Iran, were indirectly colonized by European powers. There's a very long history of experiencing direct or indirect control, political control, economic control, military control, the kind of sense of psychological attacks that comes with that, a lot of the racism that comes with that. And although the United States wasn't directly involved in much of that colonial history, we're the big power that, after France stopped being such a big power in the world, after Britain stopped being such a big power in the world, we're the big face of global power. And particularly in the case of Iran, Iran basically went from being unofficially divided up between Great Britain and Russia, then the Soviet Union, to being, in World War II, having an effective coup by the British to change the Shahs so that there would be a leader who was more in favor of the Allied powers, to the United States coming in as a major investor, a major developer, providing aid that was supportive in many ways of solid development, but that we were also a big backer of the Shah. And we as Americans don't really know what that looked like from an Iranian side. One of the things that I say to my students is that there's a great expression that I think actually makes a lot of sense in an Iranian context, which is, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you. And that has basically been Iran's experience with the United States and other major powers through this middle to the end of the 20th century. And so when Americans look at Iran, we don't often recognize the way that the United States government, not necessarily American citizens, but the United States government we don't recognize the ways that the United States government, not necessarily American citizens, but the government is seen as a kind of colonial, definitely imperial, definitely big, major, powerful actor that doesn't recognize the dignity of Iranian people or the dignity of the Iranian government. So even people in Iran who are not fans of Khamenei, not fans of the Islamic Republic, are still fans of their culture, are still proud of being Iranian. And when they look at many of the decisions that the U.S. government makes regarding Iran and much of the U.S. rhetoric regarding Iran, they see a kind of legacy of colonial hostility that Americans just don't recognize, aren't familiar with, aren't cognizant of.
And that was Andrea Stanton, Associate Professor of Islamic Studies at DU. The conference on decolonization continues at Williams at CU Boulder through tomorrow and is open to the public. And you're listening to KGNU, your independent community radio station. Now we're going to change to talking a little bit about birds and the connection between birds and climate change. Tomorrow in Fort Collins, the public is invited to join the Audubon Society for a bird-friendly, climate-friendly conference. The event goal is to teach people how helping birds can help fight climate change. On the line to give us some tips on how to do just that and share some information about Saturday's event is Audubon's Rocky Habitat Hero Coordinator, Jamie Weiss. Jamie, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Happy Friday.
And so before we dig into this connection between birds and the climate, can you tell us a little bit about tomorrow's event and what's planned?
Exactly. So tomorrow is our first bird-friendly, climate-friendly conference. We're excited since, we just kicked off the new year with 2020. And for those of you still looking to find a resolution for your new year, new decade, we urge you to commit, make your goal a commitment towards fighting climate change. And tomorrow is a perfect event to get you kickstarted with your goals. It's a full-day conference that runs from 8 a.m. till 4 p.m. It's in Fort Collins at the Northside Community Center, just outside of Old Town. And everything's provided. We have a binder full of conference materials. We'll have coffee for you, and lunch will be provided as well. We'll have some vendors there. So it'll be a full-day event, and we would really love for you to be there so you can explore ways to make your place more livable for a livable place for birds in the face of climate change.
And let's dig into kind of what some of that connection is. Explain how helping birds can help fight climate change.
Exactly. So last October, National Audubon released their report, kind of 2.0. It was called Survival by Degrees, and it was a deep dive into how birds might be affected by climate change. And in this report, we actually announced that over half of Colorado bird species are at risk of extinction due to climate change. And oftentimes we feel that, the threat of climate change is alarming, and it feels that it's hard to do anything about. So that's why we wanted to organize this conference tomorrow. We have five Northern Colorado organizations and businesses that will be there talking about what their organization is doing, how you can get involved, and their goals for being climate conscious and reducing their carbon emissions throughout the years. And we also have a keynote from Ed Begley Jr. He's going to be conferencing in through video feed. And he is an actor and environmentalist out of Hollywood, and he's been a big supporter for climate change and is a nice advocate for Audubon Rockies as well. And we're going to do that deep dive, learning about how you can help birds in the face of climate change.
And for those of us who might not be able to make it tomorrow, do you have any tips you can share with us that were some of the big ones maybe of what individuals can do to try to better protect and care for the birds that fly over our area here and thus impact climate change in a way that we can try to combat climate change? What would be those big tips that you would suggest of things we can do maybe as we're prepping our gardens and such for the new year? What are some of those tips that you have for us?
Great question. So one of our programs at Audubon Rockies, it's called Habitat Hero. And we work with a range of individuals through our communities, from homeowners, we work with nurseries for native plant sales, we work with parks departments to beautify our parks. And the whole goal of this program is to increase our natural areas, provide food and homes for our wildlife, and the third and most important piece is creating these small habitat patches or gardens that connect to the overall landscape, so helping to stitch back our landscape one garden at a time. And we have all the resources available for you to get started with your gardening endeavor this summer. We empower engagement through a variety of platforms. We do a lot of educational programming and workshops. And we also have our online resource library to get you started on planting your bird-friendly garden. And the whole goal of it is using a diversity of native plants. You know, birds have co-evolved with our existence of native plants, can seek them out. And we are encouraging you to conserve water, so replace those turf-thirsty lawns and replace those with native plants that have co-evolved with our scant precipitation here on the Front Range. Avoiding pesticides and fertilizers that can get washed away into our streams. And the great thing about our Habitat Hero Gardens is that they're beautiful, and birds make wonderful neighbors with their cheerful songs. And it's a great way to connect with nature just right outside your back door.
So tell us where people can find out more information, both about the event that's happening tomorrow, as well as about the Habitat Hero program, and maybe if they would like to get involved with Audubon Rockies, where they can find info.
Exactly. So the first place I'd direct you to is, it's called rockies.audubon.org. That's rockies.audubon.org. And there's a great big orange button that says Get Involved right at the top. And here is where you can learn about our programs and go to our Habitat Hero program, or you can go to our events page. If you want to go directly to the events page, you can just type in rockies.audubon.org/events. And the very first event listed is our bird-friendly, climate-friendly conference tomorrow. They're listed in order of dates, and we already have 9 events this first quarter. So if you're not able to make it tomorrow, but you're still interested in planting a bird-friendly garden, we have events all the way along the front along the Front Range, January, February, March. So I hope to see you at one of these events.
And that was Audubon Rockies Habitat Hero Coordinator, Jamie Weiss. Jamie, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you. You all have a wonderful weekend. Again, I hope to see you tomorrow.
Drop poetry, not bombs. That's the mantra of a local nonprofit that works with refugee communities around the world. Musical Ambassador of Peace was founded on the premise that art, music, poetry, and culture could build bridges. They're holding a fundraiser tomorrow in Broomfield. Maeve Conran spoke with David Hinojosa, vice president of the nonprofit, and Ari Hondavar, who is a musical ambassador for peace.
Musical Ambassadors of Peace works through music in order to build bridges between communities, as well as provide healing, enrichment, and life through music, working with different populations from right now, Ari's very active on the border in California and going into Tijuana and working with immigrants coming from the south, as well as programming that we've done in Iraq and with refugees coming out of Syria as well.
Ari, tell us a little bit about the work that you are currently doing, because I know that you are crossing the border and you're working with people who are in these refugee camps that people might not be aware of that are south of the border in Tijuana. Tell us exactly what those camps are and the work that you're doing.
So sometime last year, in 2018, when the migrant crisis began to take shape and we were letting in asylum seekers, I started covering the border as a journalist, and I heard so many heartbreaking stories. And I as a parent and as a citizen, I wanted to welcome these people, and I wanted to do something more than just tell their stories. So we brought the same thing that we did with the Iraqi, Afghan, and Syrian refugees in El Cajon to these people, and a customized a program for migrants from Central America. Lovely people, and we cross the border into Tijuana. We bring donations, and we sing and dance with them, and it's really beautiful.
I know a big part of this is providing comfort in many ways for the for those people. And I know this has been, you know, what you've been able to do with many of the refugees, offering them, gosh, a break from the just the tragedy of the situation that they often find themselves in by using music, but also using music to cross cultural divides and cross political divides. And right now with what's happening in Iran and the awful threat that was made, has been scaled back a little bit, to destroy cultural sites in Iran, that was made by Donald Trump. This idea that we can use culture, art and music as a way to connect as humans, when what we're seeing is a scaling up of war rhetoric at a political level. Talk a little bit about that.
Sure. So there are two projects that I've spearheaded, one with the help of Musical Ambassadors of Peace, which is the border project, where we go and we bring cumbia music. That's the preferred music of Central Americans. And the other one is the Drop Poem, Not Bombs, which is a cultural bridge between people of America and Iran. And I asked over a dozen musicians if they wanted to learn a line of Rumi's poetry in Farsi and put it to their own music. And I was floored by their enthusiasm, their creativity, the strange instruments that they came up with, and it's absolutely phenomenal. And I'm sure that any Iranian that would watch these videos, this 1 minute Instagram videos that these Americans are sending as a love letter to the people of Iran, it would warm their hearts, as they're fearing for a war and they're going through sanctions and terrible conditions, protests, dealing with freedom, lack of freedom of expression and movement, etc. So it's really beautiful.
David, can you talk from your perspective as a musician about that idea that we can use music and we can use poetry and we can use art and culture as a way to maybe counteract the hateful rhetoric that we're seeing dominating politics, particularly when it comes to international relations with countries like Iran?
Exactly. I was born in Ecuador and came to this country when I was 9 years old. And in my experience of not speaking English and not being able to connect with others, I experienced so much disconnection from myself, my own culture, and from others as well. And it wasn't until I was 13 that I discovered the drum and music, and it changed my life. What I couldn't do through language or culture, in playing music with others, I had a family. I had a connection and a brotherhood with different people where we were engaged in rhythm, we're engaged in music. And I really see and believe in that magic because I've lived it, and see how programs that Ari runs and different musical ambassadors throughout the country and the world, how poetry, music, the art is the space in which we can connect with others beyond the words, where we can connect through the rhythm and the frequency and the vibration that brings our heartbeats together. And in that, the thought process, the international relations, the otherness of difference dissipates. It's in that space that when we sing and dance and play music together, we become one. Everything dissipates.
We're going to hear you play some music in just a moment, but there is an opportunity for people to not just hear music, but to really support what you're doing, Musical Ambassadors of Peace. There's an event happening, a fundraiser for the organisation, for the nonprofit. It's at 7 p.m. on Saturday, and it's Broomfield. Tell us what people can expect.
Yes, 7 p.m. Broomfield Auditorium. It's going to be an amazing gathering of an ensemble of musicians playing music from the Middle East, traditional music from Egypt, Syria, Turkey, and an incredible troupe of live dancers. Sadie Marquardt, one of the top belly dancers in the world, is bringing in her troops. And Ari will be there speaking of her story and work on the border. We're going to share the stories and of how this organization came to be by two Americans singing music in Iraq when bombs were being dropped in Baghdad, and how music holds that power. We're going to dance and sing together, and it's going to be a beautiful time.
Where is the Broomfield Auditorium?
Broomfield Auditorium is on Highway 287 and Main Street, and it's right next to the Broomfield Library. So that's Broomfield Library, and it's a beautiful theater stage, and we're doing a whole thing there as a benefit concert for Musical Ambassadors of Peace.
So that's at 7 p.m. on Saturday. Now, I know there is a website and people can see videos so compelling of the work that you're doing at the border. Ari, where can people find out more and help this organization? What's the best place for people to find out more?
MusicalAmbassadorsOfPeace.org has a ton of videos and stories about what we do at the border.
Well, we'll go out with some music from the Musical Ambassadors of Peace. Tell us the instrument that you're playing here, David.
Yes, I'm holding an 18-inch duff frame drum made of goat skin. And we will play a little something.
مجتبده مجتبده یار پسندید مرا مجتبده مجتبده یار پسندید مرا سایه او گشتم و او برد به خوشید مرا
And you can find out more about tomorrow's evening's fundraiser at musicalambassadorsofpeace.org.
My beloved has seen me. I followed my beloved's shadow.
And that does it for The Morning Magazine. I've been your host, Hanalee Myers.